In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ezekiel 34, and we have been doing this series during Advent where we look at Christmas from the perspective of the Old Testament prophets, some of the Old Testament prophets, and Christmas in the Old Testament. Because, of course, the Old Testament is going to be big into Christmas, isn't it? And it's the Christmas we love to see how the whole Bible is about Jesus, and especially the Old Testament, really. So it really focuses on Jesus in great detail and describes him, and then the New Testament just kind of shows how everything the Old Testament was saying happened. But the Old Testament goes deep into what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what Jesus is all about. So it's big into Christmas, and we've seen that over these past few weeks. And the biographies of Jesus are always quoting the Old Testament in the Christmas stories. You get, something happens, they're like, that's because of that bit in the Old Testament. Something else happens, oh yeah, that's because of that bit, and so on. It's like the Old Testament, there's loads of stuff in the Old Testament about Christmas. And we had one of those last week where Micah is going on about Christmas 700 years before it happened. And he's like, the Messiah, he's already picked out where he's going to be born. Because I'm sure you've heard of people who pick out where they're going to be buried. Well, this one has picked out where he's going to be born. And have you ever heard of anyone doing that before? Anyone picking out where they're going to be born? Well, this one has. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's because this one is able to do that because he's actually older than the universe. He's been around forever and ever, this one. And he even gets to choose where he's going to be born, who his mother will be, who bring him up, his mum and dad, who's going to bring him into the world and raise him, and who's going to be invited to meet him on that first Christmas. He gets to choose all that. Who's going to be present when he's born? He's like, I know who I want. I know who's going to be there. And Micah was saying all that. We thought about that last week. Getting the people into the Christmas spirit way back 700 years before it all happened. He's like, the first Christmas is going to be like 700 years, but let's get celebrating Christmas now. And let's get following this great ruler who'll be born in Bethlehem. And he said, this one that we want to get hold of now, even before he's been born as one of us, we're going to get hold of him now. He is this one who will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. And they'll live securely because of him. So this one will be born in Bethlehem, and he chose to be born there. And he'll be a great ruler and shepherd for his people. Which I always think is lovely, because the world assumes that there isn't anybody to look after us, really. It's like, nah, nobody's looking out for me. Nobody's looking out for you. It's a dog-eat-dog world. If you want to make it in life, it's all down to you. You've got to make your own way in the world. You've got to look after yourself. Look after number one. Take care of yourself first before you even think about anyone else. And as long as you don't do anyone else any harm, that's fine. But you, me, and mine, that's what comes first. Look after yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. That's your top priority. And that's what the world assumes. Everybody else is in it for themselves. Nobody out there really has your best interests at heart. It's down to you to make the best of it all. And there isn't anyone to look after us. Not really. But then it turns out that there is. There is someone who will look after you. And who does care. There is someone who cares for us, will look after us, who knows how to give our lives meaning and direction when we're lost, who can set us back on the right path and then walk with us, and will stand up for us when enemies come, and he'll protect us, and he does care. And that's what we look at in Ezekiel 34, just briefly. It's one of those great chapters that show what the Bible means when it says about there being a great shepherd, and Jesus is this shepherd. And what that involves for him, what that involves for us. And you might be like, well, hang on a minute. I don't need no shepherd, because I'm not a sheep. That's offensive to call me a sheep. People know that being called a sheep isn't a compliment. Sheep are idiots. Everybody knows that. There's even a word that's been added to the dictionary recently, the word that compares people to sheep. What is that word? It's like a combination word. Sheep and people. What? Sheeple. That's it. Combination word. This idea of people who are like easily manipulated. They can't think for themselves. They get led down a wrong path without realizing or even giving it any thought whatsoever. Because that's what sheep are like. Imagine people being like sheep, just wandering, just going their own way, not listening to the shepherd, getting lost. And sheep are just stupid, really. And sheep farmers are constantly having to go and sort them out because they're always doing foolish and dangerous things, like wandering off, getting lost, ramming their heads into a gap in the fence and getting stuck. Or wandering out onto busy roads, or even going tumbling down a ditch or a ravine. And one of the sheep maybe even takes the whole lot with them, as they do. They all go along and do the same thing. They're all following this sheep getting lost. And then the sheep farmer has to go and get them because they're lost or stuck or fallen. And he has to go and rescue them. That's what sheep, people know sheep are like that, but that's what they're like in the Bible as well. Famous verse. The Bible's full of stuff about sheep. Sheep go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. They wander away from the shepherd. They go their own way. They end up in all kinds of danger. And in fact, in many ways, sheep are the worst threat to themselves. A sheep is its own worst enemy. And we did think about this a few weeks back in the prayer meeting. It's good to bring it up again. Because a sheep wanders off from the shepherd and the place of safety that he's provided. And its biggest danger is itself. And very often in the Bible, the Lord's like, yeah, you're like that. You're your own worst enemy. And even if you're in a secure zone, you'll find a way out of it and you'll put yourself in danger. You'll always do that. And that's what human beings do. We're like that. And the Lord knows it all the time. And then not only are we a threat to ourselves, but there are other dangers to sheep in the Bible. And we get stories of that from famous shepherds in the Bible. David, one of the most famous ones, when he was keeping sheep, said that in 1 Samuel 17, he said he fought both bears and lions who had come and carried off sheep from the flock. And David said I went after it, the lion, the bear, each time it happened, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. So there's danger from outside enemies, lions and bears, not only from the sheep themselves, lions and bears. And in the Bible, the devil's like a lion, walking about, prowling about, looking to get his teeth into us. And then bears tend to be associated with God's judgment, because you've got that story of Elisha, who calls down a curse on this gang of youths, and two bears come running out of the wood and kill 42 of them. We can't go into that story at the moment, but this short bit of it that we want to take from it is that bears, it seems like bears are a manifestation of God's judgment, his wrath. And when a curse is called down, it comes in the form of bears. So there are all these perils for sheep in the Bible. And when the Bible compares people with sheep, as it does over and over again, we can appreciate what our problems are. Our own selves. We're our own worst enemies. Always wandering off into danger, following our own deceitful desires, getting trapped by our addictions and obsessions, trying to make our own way and ending up falling into a ravine where we can't get ourselves out, leaving ourselves vulnerable and exposed to this other enemy of the lion, the devil, who wants us to go our own way, away from the shepherd, away from church, and get lost and trapped so that he can destroy us. So our own selves, the devil, are our enemies. But then, of course, the living God is angry with us because we've ignored the shepherd. So really, we're enemies to ourselves. We've got the devil against us. We've got the living God angry with us. So really, we're pretty much stuffed by ourselves. Sheep, by themselves, have got no hope. That's what everybody's facing, actually. We all face that, whether we realise it or not. And when we think about it, we can perhaps realise, you know, in many ways I am my own worst enemy. And I do listen to other voices that tell me to go away from the shepherd and do my own thing. And look after myself, look after number one. We're all like that. We're all like sheep. Sheep without a shepherd. That's a phrase that comes up lots of times in the Bible. It's in Ezekiel 34 as well. Sheep without a shepherd. And it's not a good thing. Sheep need a shepherd because otherwise they fall victim to themselves, the devil, and the wrath of God. Ah, but there is a shepherd. We have a shepherd, a good shepherd who will save us from ourselves, save us from the wrath of God, and defeat the devil on our behalf. There are other shepherds who offer help, but they're actually just in it for themselves. And when it comes to it, they're not going to help you. In fact, they'll make life even worse. That's what we see in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" Not themselves, the flock. "You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak or healed those who are ill or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally, in fact. So they're scattered because there's no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. And my sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They're scattered all over the whole earth. No one searched for them or looked for them." That's what the Lord says. He's like, "Yeah, I've seen you people who are supposed to be taking care of the flock. But you don't do any of what you're supposed to do. The people who are with you, you don't look after them. You're not feeding them, watering them, taking special care of the weak, the unwell, the injured. In fact, you've treated them harshly and brutally. You eat the sheep's cheese. You're happy to get the sheep's milk and make it into cheese. Eat that. You're happy to use the best ones for your own ends. You're happy to take their wool, use it for clothes. But then the ones who are with you, you don't look after them. The ones who wander off and get lost, you don't bring them back. You don't even look for them. They've got no shepherd. So the sheep get lost. They're scattered all over the place. In fact, all over the world," he says. "Wandering on mountains and high hills, dangerous places, trying, like us, trying to connect to the highest heaven in our own ways, wandering in these dangerous high places, but just becoming prey for all the wild animals." See, all the dangers we thought about are in play here in Ezekiel 34. And now, because of these bad shepherds who are selfish, just in it for themselves, looking out for their own interests, what they can get out of the people that they are meant to take care of, because of that, the sheep are scattered across the whole earth. So if anyone could even be bothered going, searching for these sheep, it's a massive task to get them, because they've spread across the whole earth. Who's going to go across the whole earth to find these sheep and bring them back? These shepherds aren't bothered. They don't care. And in the Lord, in this incredible passage, says, "I've had enough of them. They're just in it for themselves. Right. Get out of my way. I'll do it myself. I'm going to do it myself. And then he's like, he's going to deal with these false shepherds. He's going to take them out of the way. And then there's this awesome declaration from him in Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so he's going to be with them, so will I look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. I'll bring them from the nations, gather them from the countries, bring them into their own land. I'll pasture them on the mountainsides. I'll bring them into good settlements. I'll give them good grazing land. They'll feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down and rest. I'll search for the lost. I'll bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I'll destroy. I'll shepherd the flock with justice. I'll do everything necessary to get the sheep back and restore them and sort out all the problems. He's going to go looking for them, find them, bring them to safe pasture, bind up the injured, strengthen the weak, and he goes on to say that he's going to sort out the flock itself, get rid of all the dangers to themselves that they cause, problems within and inside and outside. He'll rid the land of savage beasts, he goes on to say. All the wild animals he'll get rid of. He'll go above and beyond to sort out everything so that they're safe. And no one can make them afraid. And they're fed and watered. And best of all, he'll be with them. He will be with them personally. And he binds himself to them in such an emphatic way. And these last verses of Ezekiel 34, it says, I, the Lord, their God. So it's like, I'm their God. Me and them. I'm with them. I'm with them. And they are my people. You're my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. I'm your God, declares the sovereign Lord. He says, you are with me, I'm with you. I'm going to live with you, share my life with you. You're mine and I'm yours. He binds himself to them in such a way. And it's stunning that the Lord says, what is needed for a shepherd is someone who isn't actually going to be served, but serve. Someone who is just saying, no, I don't want myself to be the focus. I don't want to focus on myself. I'm just going to focus on you guys. Whereas these bad shepherds are like, no, you're here for our benefit. And the Lord's like, no, that's not what a shepherd looks like. A shepherd's got to be saying, no, I'm here for your benefit. And then the Lord says, and you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be that shepherd who's there for your benefit. And you think, no, but surely we are here for the benefit of the Lord. He's the Lord God. We're here for his benefit. Surely it's got to be us feeding into him and giving him all the attention and like serving his needs. Surely he's the center of attention. And he loves it, and he loves looking at himself in the mirror and having an audience while he does it and flexing and all that. And he's like, I want you to like admire me. That's what he must be like that. Surely he loves and deserves to be the center of his own attention and everybody else's. But no. In Ezekiel, he says, actually, I'm not interested in that remotely. If I'm looking at anything, it's you guys. You've got my attention. That's what the Lord God is like. And there's something wonderful about that. And it's no wonder then that he wants shepherds present at his birth. Because they get what he's about. That if they don't pay attention to the sheep, and if they're not ready to put themselves in extreme danger for the sake of these sheep, then they're no good. The only thing they've got to do is care for sheep. A shepherd, that's it. a sheep herd, someone who herds sheep. The only thing they've got to do is care for sheep. That's their job, looking after sheep, carrying them around, fighting for them, because they're helpless and all that. And the shepherds are just like, yeah, of course, that's what we do. That's what we do. And the Lord's like, well, who could I have present at my birth that would get what I'm up to? Those guys, they'll get it. Those shepherds, invite them. They'll get what I'm up to. Whereas all the other kinds of jobs available, he doesn't select them to be present, but he does select the shepherds, because a proper shepherd gets what the Lord is all about. And these shepherds, Luke tells us that they live in the fields with the sheep. They live in the fields with the sheep. They're not clocking off at the end of the day. They live with the sheep. So they're probably dirty, smelly guys out in the middle of nowhere. No one's interested in them or their view of the world. They might even be swearing their heads off when the angel shows up and maybe having a smoke and all that, when they get this royal invitation delivered by a majestic angel from the highest heaven. And it says, your presence is requested. We want you to be present at the birth of God in Bethlehem. And the shepherds are like, well, at first they're terrified, but and then the angels do, they say, no, it's fine, it's okay, and then they sing, and then when they leave, the shepherds are like, well, maybe we should go and check this out. And so they go to see, these shepherds go to see the shepherd, the true shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock, who sits enthroned between the cherubim, as Psalm 80 says. And Psalm 80 goes on to say, come and save us. Be with us. Make your face shine on us. Just come and be with us, shepherd on the throne. Come and be with us. Make your face shine on us, and then we will be saved. You just have to come and be with us. Shine your face on us, and then we'll be okay. And if he comes to us and makes his face shine on us, everything will be all right. This sense of the Lord on the throne, who is the shepherd, you get that in Ezekiel as well. Because at the beginning of Ezekiel, you've got this incredible chapter where the divine Son of Man rolls up. The Lord God, the Son of Man rolls up. It's going to be one of the most crazy, intense visions of Jesus in the Bible, with these four living creatures. And there he is, this amazingly glorious Son of Man, with these living creatures lugging him around on this throne with wheels spinning. And all that's going on, these four creatures, they're like carrying him, he's on this throne. They're carrying him around with these wheels, and it's like this moving throne, like a chariot with a throne in it. And there's this glorious Son of Man being lugged around by these four living creatures. And it's incredible, but here in Ezekiel 34, he's like, no, actually, I don't want to be lugged around. Well, not by you guys, anyway. If I'm going to be lugged around, I'll get these creatures to do it with the wheels. But I don't want you lugging me around. I'll just get angels to do that. Let me lug you around. I want to cart you around. So don't be lugging me around. I'll carry you around. I'll pick you up, carry you around. And you think, no, but we can't have him carrying people. But he says, no, no, that's my job, to carry them, particularly those with young. As he says in Isaiah 40 as well, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. It's weird and wonderful to think that the one who gets lugged around in chapter 1 of Ezekiel comes to lug people around in chapter 34. And he has all the power in the universe. And what does he use it for? This. To lug helpless sheep around, hold them close to his heart, look after them, care for them. And he must love doing it. He must love doing it. He must want to do it. If he's got all this power, and he's this divine Son of Man, and he's got all these angels and all the resources of the universe at his disposal, and yet he says, I'm going to do this. It's not as if he condescends to do it, as if inside he's thinking, what have I got myself into? What on earth is this I'm doing? How have I got into this? In fact, he's like, no, why would I do anything else? This is the life. This is the life. Carrying around sheep that can't manage. That's what I love doing. That's what Jesus is like. And he goes, we read about him in the Gospels as he grows up and he's goes through all the towns and villages, teaching, helping people, healing every disease and sickness, telling people the empire of heaven is right here for you to serve you. And he says, I am with you. The kingdom of heaven's here because I'm here and I'm with you. And when he sees the crowds, we're told, he has compassion on them. Why? Because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And he cares about them genuinely because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he's like, I'll be your shepherd. I'll look after you. And he's, in fact, in John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. These other shepherds, they don't care about the sheep. They're only in it for the money. They're like hired hands who, when they see danger coming, they run. They abandon the sheep and run away. But not this shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He puts them above his own life. He loves them. And he knows them like he knows his father. He loves them like family. He lives with them, shares his life with them. He's not like the thieving shepherds who come to kill and destroy and take life. He comes to give us life to the full. The life of God with us. He dwells with us so that we know his voice and listen to him and don't follow any strange voice that leads us into danger. And he lays down his life for us. He puts himself in danger to protect us from harm, to save us from ourselves, from the devil, from the divine wrath. And the incredible thing is that the shepherd takes such responsibility for the sheep that he ends up becoming like a sheep led to slaughter. He becomes a sheep in danger. He lays down his life for the sheep, as a lamb sacrificed. And there's this incredible bit in Revelation 7 where we're told that the shepherd who dies as a lamb is the center and meaning of the whole universe and all of history. The lamb at the center of the throne will be the church's shepherd. So there's a lamb who's going to be the shepherd of the church, because the shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the church. And he says, look, I haven't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. He says, I'm not interested in taking from you, being waited on hand and foot and using you for my benefit. I want to wait on you hand and foot. I want to benefit you to the extent that I'll give up everything, even my own life for you. Nothing is too much for me to do for you. I'll pay everything I've got to get you back safely. I'll go to whatever lengths necessary to do that, to get you safely into my sheepfold of church. And I'll go to the ends of the world with church to find you and bring you into safety. And I want church to be full of people who do that for each other. To have shepherds in church, that's what he wants. Shepherds in church who go to great lengths to look after the flock. And if anyone wanders off, it doesn't matter if it's only some little insignificant person. You'd be like, oh, it's only so-and-so, just wandering off and getting into trouble. No, he says, no, in church, you have to look after everybody. Even the most insignificant, especially the most insignificant. Go and get them, bring them back, look after them, restore them. That's the kind of shepherds he wants in church. Shepherds that imitate the good shepherd. And he says, look, don't lord it over people. Whoever wants to become great must be a proper servant like me. And Paul in Acts 20 delivers this speech to the leaders at the church in Ephesus where he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The living God is the great shepherd who thought church was worth dying for. And some of the key church leaders were shepherds who do this kind of thing, who learn what it is to put themselves in danger for the sake of the sheep. Abel, the first shepherd in the Bible, what happens to him? He dies. So that sets a precedent for all the other shepherds. Be a shepherd, you've got to die. And he dies because he's so taken up with this divine shepherd who is the Lamb. And he dies. And then there's Jacob. He's a shepherd who's always wandering off like a sheep and doing his own thing. But by the end of his life, he gives this powerful testimony to the divine shepherd. He says, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the divine angel who has delivered me from all harm. And then Moses, who spends 40 years as a shepherd in Midian, is commissioned by Jesus, the divine shepherd, to lead the flock of the church out of Egypt through the wilderness towards the green pastures of the promised land. And he chose, we're told in Hebrews 11, to be ill-treated with the flock of God, with the church of God. He chose to be ill-treated rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin because his heart was fixed on Christ, Hebrews 11 tells us. The true shepherd. And then David, the shepherd king from Bethlehem. As we saw earlier, the one after God's own heart who shepherded with integrity of heart and skillful hand. And he writes about the divine shepherd in maybe the most famous psalm, Psalm 23. These famous shepherds, these key church people, just smelly shepherds, but chosen to lead church. The divine shepherd has no place for false shepherds who use and abuse people and power for their own ends. He thinks people are worth dying for. And he puts himself in harm's way to rescue lost people. He comes to be with us, to live out in the far country, sleeping rough in the darkness with us, so that he can care for us, lug us around, strengthen us, bind up our wounds, heal our deepest diseases, defeat our enemies, fight for us, protect us, bring us to safety, free us from fear. So this morning, if you feel that you are lost, you've got into trouble, and you're like, I feel like I'm my own worst enemy, and nobody cares. All around are just wolves and lions and bears out to get me, just in it for themselves, just out to take and destroy, and I got to look after myself. Well, there is a shepherd who will fight for you, who will find you when you're lost. He'll notice when you're missing. Who's got a place of safety, his church family, who loves you and is good and reliable always. This Christmas, like the shepherds long ago, do what they did. Get to Jesus as fast as you can. Come and meet him. Get to know him and follow him. Don't listen to false shepherds. Run away from them. Run to him. Don't be sheep without a shepherd, helpless and harassed. There is a shepherd who can help you, who wants to help you, who puts you before himself, who will take responsibility for you, protect you from all ultimate harm, who will lead you into safe, fruitful pastures and never-ending divine life with him. That's more wonderful than anything offered by anyone else, than anything you've ever dreamed. Call out to him this morning. Go to him. And when you meet him, it will be the best Christmas you've ever had. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the worship, all the honor, and all the majesty, now and forever. Amen.